As we look at the homes found in America in 2016, we realize that the disasters that we're seeing all across our land, this didn't happen overnight. It has been years since we've seen a mighty move of God in America. Theological liberalism have gripped many churches. Secular humanism has become really the religion of the land and has pervaded all the different parts of our society. This began to make a great deal of difference after World War II in our homes as a new philosophy of child rearing began to be more prevalent. Dr. Spock, of course, is known for his book that was almost the Bible to many people regarding rearing of children in the 50s. And so you think about it, we've had those parents affected by that humanistic teaching back in the 50s, and those would be the great-grandparents of the new generation today. And so we now have had several generations of parents who were brought up with parents that had a wrong philosophy when it comes to relationship with children, the matter of discipline, even teaching of God-fearing perspective. You've had secular humanism in our schools teaching evolution instead of creation, a totally wrong perspective on who we are as persons, how we relate to parents, and so forth. And so we have seen now in the last 10 years the fastest decline of culture probably in the history of the world. Everything has crumbled. It's like the foundation went out and bang, down we went. But this didn't just happen. This happened over decades, and again, I think we must understand, we as the Church of the Living God do need to, in a healthy way, take responsibility and then take back the ground by the grace of God. But we do need to understand that parents in good churches across our land are pretty much affected by a lot of this philosophy. We don't even realize it. I remember back when we were in college how what was even being taught in a good, strong college, some of the parenting aspect was already affected by the more humanistic thinking. And as I got in the ministry in the first few years, I had to battle my way back as we had our own children, as we were working with young people and children, we began to realize, whoa, we have gotten way off base biblically here. And I did not want to see my family or our church go in the direction I was seeing many ministries go. And the Lord's been very good to just get us back, along with many other ministries, on a much more firm biblical basis. But I think, just as I mentioned this morning, we've got to be on guard that there's been a lot of seducing spirits out there. And parents, grandparents here, we need to get back to a biblical perspective and realize that we have some generational skewing of even Christian view, quote-unquote, of how to parent. Now, I'm going to be very basic tonight because we're going to be looking at this right through the lens, as we've said in our title, of the book of Proverbs. We're going to stick right in the book of Proverbs, but I want us to realize that we have to not look at what everybody else is doing, but we've got to look at what the Bible teaches. And folks, if we will do right, God will bless. So I trust this will be a help to you here tonight. Let's look first of all tonight at the book of Proverbs from that perspective on the God-given role of a parent. The God-given role of a parent. A verse that has been the theme verse of many of the lectures and preaching series that I've given over the years on parenting is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That responsibility is given to parents. The fifth commandment of honoring thy father and mother, which is that strategic commandment between the first table of the law, which is summarized, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second table of the law, which is summarized by Jesus, love thy neighbor as thyself. That very key part of our development of honoring our parents has a direct impact on honoring God, honoring one another, and must be enforced, led, directed by the parent. And so Proverbs 22:6 basically says it's up to us as parents to train, to hedge in, to narrow the way of a child on the way he should go. In other words, keep them biblically on the path through the biblical methods that God has given. And when they are, as they make their key decisions, they're going to be in the right place to make them, is basically what it's saying. And when they're old, they're going to still be on the same path. And so we need to believe that. That is a wonderful, wonderful principle in God's word. And so from the very beginning, this responsibility of training is there. Chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Now, I'm going to make a strong statement, but one that is true, and that is that, folks, our children are initially trained by us. We stand in the stead of God Almighty. They are the same word honor is the same word used to honor God in the Old Testament. And it is up to us to enforce this honoring, to enforce obedience to authority. And so our children do reflect our training or lack of training. And it's a hard thing sometimes to accept, but as we talked in our class earlier today, they're moldable clay, and the imprints of parents are all over children. And so we need to realize that we have this precious and very serious privilege of taking every aspect of our children's lives under the direction of the Lord and training them up so that they will be known as ones whose work is pure and their lives are right. Now, it is up to us then to take the responsibility to teach them. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no good understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Parents, you've got to understand, you have a lot of teachers screaming at your children. What I mean by that is you've got an entire world and an entire culture and society that have all kinds of means of influencing your children by what they see when they're around, by what they're hearing when they go into stores, by the things that they see if they have any media accessibility in the different places that they will be involved with different people. And so they are being taught secular, unbiblical values all the time. And so we as parents cannot be neutral. It is up to us from the very beginning, even as a child is just in their first months, to, through improper enforcement of proper scheduling to proper discipline, then to, with a child being able to be attentive and listen, it is up to us to realize that primarily what they are going to know to counteract all that's going to be coming at them will come in those early years by intensive, purposeful teaching of the parents. And so it is very important that we do not just think it happens. Folks, kids just don't turn out naturally. What are we by nature? Sinners, right? What kind of world are they living in? Satan's world. Our flesh is ugly. If a child is not led to know Christ early as a believer, and they can come to know the Lord pretty early, and then begin to learn what it means to walk a Christian life in which they're empowered by the Spirit of God, if they don't learn that and the precious truths of God's Word, I promise you they're going to be learning all kinds of things. And that's got to be counteracted by very loving teaching that is enforced by proper discipline, so there is that focus and the heart is in submission to authority. And it is our responsibility. And so by the time a child is five, 80% of who they are really is there. What have we taught them? By the way, you need to thank God for every preschool teacher here. You need to thank God for every person that has an influence. But oh, we as parents, what a privilege we have. Chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. And so you see here the impact of the teaching of a mother and father upon their children. Every day is another day to write upon the heart of that child, to give them wisdom, to give them understanding, to give them, lead them to developmental working through of truth, so that as they yield to the Lord, their lives can be changed, their minds can be developed, they can develop the godly biblical character that God wants for them. Folks, that isn't going to happen without very purposeful training on the part of parents. You know, as you are coming through as a parent, you've got to realize that you were pretty much indoctrinated in humanism yourself. You probably did not, unless you were in a good situation, probably didn't even have the good model of how to do things. So I would become a very astute student of biblical truth regarding parenting and about the developmental process of a child, what they need to learn just as in their own ability to function, and then what they need to learn spiritually so they can truly be effective in their life. You need to learn and learn and learn. And I tell you, parents that stay humble, you know, we never have arrived. I'm learning all the time. One of the things that I'm very thankful for is I'm teaching on parenting all the time. I wish I knew then what I know now. I mean, it's just amazing, especially as I'm looking at our culture and what we're facing. And I encourage every parent here, just stay a learner. Keep growing. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the right kinds of help, and be anywhere you possibly can to learn, because every time you get challenged, it'll something else will come to light. Don't be insecure. None of us are where we need to be, but we want to get there. And so I encourage you to learn so you can give. One of the great principles that we endeavor to teach here is that everything we learn, everything we do is for somebody else. It's always for the next generation. It's always to give to someone else. And so we need to be learning to give. We need to really understand that our lives are all about a transfer to the next generation of young people. I want the young people of this church to far outdo all of us as adults. Not to do up to maybe close to what we're doing, but to go way past us. In fact, parents, rejoice if your kids are a bit intimidating to you. Rejoice when their spiritual life convicts you. Rejoice when they know more than you. Now keep up with them. Run to get ahead, but don't be thrown by that. I'm amazed some parents try to hold them down. They don't want them to get too zealous spiritually, because it'll make the parent feel uncomfortable. God help that parent. Man, I'm telling you, if a child convicts you, you say, well, they'll get over it. You don't want them to get over it. Oh, they may need to balance out, but I'm telling you, if they got a fire in their soul to serve God, fuel that fire and let God cause you to repent and get on fire yourself and take advantage of everything, because you'll be crying about it a few years later if you quench it. In fact, you'll be absolutely distraught. So the book of Proverbs makes it very clear, teaching, communicating with our children. Now, God has some very clear results when we do it or when we don't. There's nothing more encouraging, nothing more satisfying, nothing that makes it more worth living than having a wise child. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Chapter 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins, my inmost being shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. There's a reward for it. Chapter 27, verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. So there's great joy Chapter 23, verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. I tell you, young people, one of the deepest desires you ought to have is to bring joy to your parents. That ought to be a consuming goal. That's next to bringing joy to God. And by the way, when you bring joy to your parents, you're bringing joy to the very throne of God. It ought to just get all over you when you know you've hurt your parents. I mean, that just has to get totally settled. Don't ever cause your parents to grieve. It's a great opportunity for us to just have the deepest of what life is all about. There's great contentment that comes. Chapter 29, verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, there is a God-given role. There's a God-given results that are positive. But then there is the God-given example that we need to be, the godly example that we need to be. And this is very sobering. Chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. Now we know that, and we talk a lot about that, and that's crucial. But the second part of this is so important. We often, many times, neglect it. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Know the common phrase, chip off the old block? Well, they observe our ways. You know, you don't train just that one half hour maybe you work with a child. You're training 24/7. Everything you say, your attitudes, what you do, the habits of your life, the way your family operates, everything is a training process. Chapter 20, verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Chapter 14, verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. When a dad walks with God and trusts his God and lives according to the word of God and is consistent in the word of God, and he is at rest because he is at rest with his God, the children have great refuge, knowing the faith of the parents. I tell you what, it thrills. When I look back on my childhood, my parents, I knew, walked with God, and I knew they were going to do what's right, and they knew how to pray, and I knew that no matter how the situation may get difficult, God was going to work because I had parents that knew how to get to God. You know, that's a wonderful thing. God becomes very real early on to a child whose parents are living that way. Now, the thing that causes us to go headlong into conflict with humanistic thinking is the fact that humanism says that we are evolved and that we learn either good or evil, that we're a blank slate when we are born. Now, I don't know how anybody that calls himself scientific can believe that. I mean, that to me is just purely a philosophy born out of unbelief and rebellion against God. I have not yet seen a child when they're a few months old just asking to do what they can do to help you and are just automatically servants and are so truthful you can hardly believe it. No, that does not happen. You have to teach them everything about that. They are incredibly selfish from the very beginning. So if you're a Bible believer, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come from the womb lying, the Bible says. And so that means then, if we are going to have our God-given role, if we're going to have the God-given results, if we're going to be God's example to our children, then we got to do that hard thing. And we can't let them go their own way. Some of the greatest verses we have on child rearing come from the book of Proverbs. True love means that you are going to train them by not allowing them to get away with sin. Sin will send someone to hell if they're not saved. Sin has consequences. And if we do not teach them to submit their will to us, they will not learn to submit their will to God. And so it is very important for us. That's why so many people are in rebellion against God. Folks, we're in terrible rebellion against God. It is Sodom and Gomorrah rebellion against God today. And that has come because parents have not been willing to go out of their way, do the uncomfortable thing, let their lives be given sacrificially to the training of their children by doing the difficult thing called discipline. You love your child? Chapter 13, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Is that the word of God? All right, if you think you've got a better way than using the rod, then you are in contradiction to the inspired word of God. You are listening to the humanistic science of our day, and we're bowing at that shrine. Just be very blunt about it. And so the Bible says, if you spare the rod in the name that you care about your children, the Bible says you hate them. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Many times. And I know the child doesn't normally believe that at the time, but they do later on. I'm telling you, folks, it's inconvenient. It messes your schedule up. It causes you to just go through a lot of agony yourself. It is the most difficult thing to do, to be consistent with discipline. But if you love them, you'll do it. Now, folks, if for no other reason, it's because God said so. We have to get down to bedrock belief that this book is true. And I remember when my child had been through all those surgeries and radiation, and he was coming through that, and he was a weak little child at that point. He still had a will. And I saw what happened to those kids that had been in long-term neurosurgery care. And one of the hardest things for me was to have to deal with him. And I would weep when I had to. But you know why I did it? I believe this book. And what good to have him healed if he didn't know the Lord and wasn't in subjection to God? I'm telling you, that was theology. That was hard. My wife and I wept. It was the hardest thing in the world for me to do, but I'm very thankful. Thankful I have my son here today physically, and I'm thankful I've got him here spiritually. God's word is true. Then another verse that's very strong on this is chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Now note this. This is quoted in Hebrews 12, of course. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, or correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So the Bible says you hate your child if you don't discipline them, use corporal discipline. The Bible says you love him if you do. And here we have the fact that the Lord loves us. And aren't you glad how he disciplines us? How gracious and long-suffering he is. And then the next statement is so good. Even as the Father, the Son in whom he delighteth. You know how I know if you delight in your child? You're disciplining them. I tell you what, children are wonderful. The flesh is ugly. You got to deal with it. Got to get them to a place they'll submit to God, get saved, start growing in the Lord. Be under authority. It's very important. And then you will find that God will begin to open them to the truth that you're teaching them, as we talked at the beginning of this message. But this matter of this difficult thing of discipline is so, so vital. Chapter 9, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So folks, if you want the wisdom you're teaching, the wisdom that you are endeavoring to train, to actually come to genuine understanding, there has to be loving, self-discipline, non-reactive discipline. That's for the good of the child, and God will give them wisdom. Now, folks, that's what God says. And there's all kinds of other things. You know why most parents are scared to death to discipline? Because you were disciplined improperly. You were abused in your discipline. Your parents screamed at you when you disciplined. They only would discipline here and there and not consistently. They were reacting to you, and you were afraid of them. And you don't want to do that to your child. Well, that's right. Don't do that to your child. But don't give up. Don't go the way out of balance and then not discipline. You are going to abuse your children the opposite way. And so the loving, selfless, non-reactive, consistent child needs to obey immediately. He needs to obey completely. He needs to obey respectfully. And as they get older, they need to obey with the right heart attitude. That's vital. And you must enforce that. And if you do, they'll start learning. They'll be attentive to truth. They'll be attentive to spiritual things. And God will just explode truth in their hearts and minds if you are willing to pay the price to do it. Chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. So, discipline brings wisdom by doing what? Driving out the way of the fool. And the way of the fool is self-centered, impulsive living. And isn't that a tragedy, what we see today? But then you have to think of the long-term ramifications. Chapter 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. By the way, is the Bible somewhat clear here? Okay. Look at Hebrews 12. That's New Testament. Very clear there also. Using that as an illustration of how God works with us. He will not die. Now we're dealing with spirit-empowered, loving type of discipline. But listen to the next verse. He won't die, but if you do it, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now listen to me, folks. Christians all over America in the last few decades have been unwilling to be biblical, have followed humanism, and their children, many, have done things that have put them in an early grave and they're in hell today. That's not love. You've got to have your child submit to your authority first and honor you if they're going to come to a place that they're going to submit to God and trust him as Savior. And so there has to be that there for their long-term protection. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. While there is hope. Well, the book of Proverbs deals with this, doesn't it? Does it sound like the humanistic blank slate? We're just naturally good. Let's just let them go their own way. Basically, they've got instincts and they'll turn out good if you just leave them to yourself and just guide them and just reason with them and just, you know. Folks, what we are having today is children ruling parents and parents despising their kids. And a lot of divorces occur because the pressure in the home with the lack of biblical principles is just causing a lot of the weaknesses that are already in marriages to just become unbearable. And again, you got to understand that right now it's about 32% of children are in a two-parent natural home. That means that almost 70% come from a broken home in America. And so we must realize, let me just say, has Dr. Spock's principles worked? Is America better today than it was in 1955? Wasn't great in 1955, but it isn't very good now. Are we a Christian nation by the atmosphere, or are we purely secular and pagan now? Now, folks, these are important things. And I think that there is more humanistic thinking in good Christian parents' minds than we know, from our background, from what's around us, from what we read. I encourage you to believe the Bible. And you know, there's a lot of things we need to believe the Bible on, but this matter of believing the Bible about parenting has generational impact, affects thousands of people. And if we're willing to do the uncomfortable thing, die to self, be willing to work hard, to be consistent, to be godly, and to give ourselves and give up our rights and give up our free time and pour ourselves into our children. Folks, the generational impact is amazing. We have an opportunity within a generation to see great impact in this nation if we would just simply do that. So as we think about looking at 2016 through the lens of Proverbs, this is a big deal. And I chose this subject today because it's Father's Day. Dads, it is first and foremost our responsibility. But let me just say, all of you right now that are past childbearing time, you need to have an influence of supporting your children and then carefully encouraging them to do right with their children. Those of you that don't have children, let me say, be very biblical in your perspective, because the influence of people around our children needs to be a biblical and supportive. Do not look down on a parent when they have to take their child out to deal with them. I had to do that during a service once. I won't tell you who it was, but it was in the middle of my children, between first and sixth, and it was not a girl, so there's... He now leads singing, but I won't tell you who it was. I tell you what, though, I took him out, and everybody had daggers looking at me. You know, I mean, I had no sympathy. They were all on his side. He was a cute kid, but he wasn't going to get away because he totally disobeyed me at that point. But you know what? I'm glad I did. I don't know if you're glad that I did, but I didn't do that very often. But what I'm saying is, folks, that you only have a few years to make it happen. And what we're seeing today, we need to support one another. Listen, folks, we got to be biblical in every part of our life. If the Word of God is true enough to save us, it is true in every part of how we live. If you can't trust the Bible about how to rear children, then how can you trust it that you're going to go to heaven? I mean, that's what we've got to get to. We've got to get to this whole matter of how we live and what we do. Folks, this is the glorious revelation of the heart of Almighty God. He's given us all that we need to know. This is His love gift to us. Know it, live it, believe it, and He'll bless you, I promise. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here. We, of course... I think everybody here believes, without me even having to preach it, what I preached. But giving assent to it is one thing, but paying the price to follow through is another thing. And I know that. I was not as consistent at times, and I remember how God would deal with me, and I have to get right about it, and I just continue to let God work in my heart. But I tell you, we have a precious privilege with our children. We cannot capitulate. We cannot compromise. We cannot get weak. We've got to do what's right. You're a believer here today, and as a parent, or maybe even as a grandparent, or some kind of a situation you're in, but you realize that you need to get on biblical ground, and you need to believe God, and you need to ask God's grace to be consistent, and God has burdened your heart about this. And let me just say, those of you that are young and still hope to be married and have children, the best thing you can do for parenting right now is to have good relationships with people. Don't get bitter. And number two, get your character in order. Learn to be consistent and selfless and walk in the Spirit. So I don't know how God may have worked in your heart, but you'd say, you know, there's some things that I need to change. I need God's grace. I need to be the right kind of parent, or I need to be developing my life. I don't know how God may have applied it. Maybe children, you need to be bringing more joy to your family. But God has worked in your heart, and you say, pray for me. God has touched my heart here tonight. Would you just slip your hand up for a moment? We certainly will pray for you. God has definitely, specifically dealt with something, and I don't want to miss it. Please pray for me. God bless you. A number of hands. Anyone else? Pray for me, Pastor. I need to be honest. God is working. Yes, God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight, and you're not even a child of God. If you were to die, you don't know what would happen. Friend, Jesus loves you. He's paid the price for your sins. He wants to have you be with Him forever. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You cannot get to heaven on your own. But by trusting Him, you can have eternal life. You'd say, Pastor, I need to settle this. In my heart, I'm troubled about when you mentioned hell, it touched me. And I need to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me with head still bowed? Would you slip your hand up? We'd love to pray for you. We won't point you out, but we will ask God to work in your heart. Lord, would you work in hearts here tonight? You know the needs. And Lord, we all constantly you need your grace in this. But we've got to start with believing your word. And we've got to to walk with you so we can be consistent. Lord, this is not natural. It's not natural to be a good parent. It's not natural to have kids be just good. Lord, it doesn't just happen. We have to make the hard decisions to trust you and then depend upon your spirit. And Lord, you are able to live out your life through us to our children if we're walking with you. So Lord, help us to be fully in agreement with your word and living according to it. I think of these hands that were raised, these dear folks, Lord, whatever it is that you touched their hearts concerning, Lord, would you work very definitely, give them victory. Now I pray in Jesus' name, amen.